Hi, John. My name's Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
I ran into a situation recently. I happened to be getting my hair cut, and my hairdresser was relating different experiences of his. And he began by saying he was on some trip with some friends, and he started having word of knowledge from the Lord, and he got these visions and stuff. And then he went on to say the Lord was giving him a word of knowledge that this friend of his, who supposedly is a Christian, was dealing with demons that were inside of him of lust and homosexuality and different things. And he began talking about how he really feels that if you have a spirit of anxiety or anything, it's not of God, so therefore it's of the devil. And he feels that he needs to deliver all these people of demons. And I told him I didn't really agree with them because I feel that, you know, it's a case of sin and being of the flesh and everything. And I didn't agree that, you know, demons could be inside of a Christian, living inside of a Christian if the Holy Spirit was there. But I waited till he finished cutting my hair before I said anything.
Before you got him too worked up, right?
And I think by the time I left, he thought that he had to deliver me of a spirit of or demon of rebellion or something. I don't know. But is this something that you've come across?
Yes.
Where
yeah, this is
becoming more prevalent?
There was a guy back in Florida by the name of Don Basham, B-A-S-H-A-M, who propagated this quite extensively in several books, and it was picked up by Derek Prince and a few other people in a very sort of fringe charismatic group got into this. You know, there was, and I wrote about this in one of my books, that this guy had that was looking for the demon of post-nasal drip, you know, and really crazy stuff. Now, I don't want to underplay the demonic world. And it may well be that demons are involved in all of that kind of stuff. But the ridiculous part of it is to assume that this guy can run around telling the demons what to do. Yeah, I tried to do that and they wouldn't go anywhere. I mean, I remember Jerry Mitchell and I, we had a girl here and she had all kinds of demons and they kept talking and yelling and we tried sending those demons everywhere. We sent them to the pit, to Phoenix, Tucson, Albuquerque. We sent them to the desert. We sent them everywhere and they didn't go. They didn't go anywhere. I mean, we had absolutely no authority over demons. We're not apostles. We can't heal the sick and we can't tell the demons what to do. And the fact of the matter is, we really don't need to do that because the only reason a person would be under that kind of demonic influence would be if they had, by virtue of sin in their life, given access to that. And it's as simple as James, resist the devil and he'll what? He'll flee. Obedience. That's the whole issue. So it's superfluous to go around casting devils out of people. In fact, in the entire New Testament, in the life of Christ, he did that. And, of course, in Matthew 10, he says, I give you power over disease and power to cast out demons. But apart from the apostles, that was never done. There's never an occasion in the epistles of Paul where he says to people in the church, go around casting demons out. If somebody's sick, cast demons out of them. If somebody's anxious, cast demons out of them. If somebody's nose runs, cast demons out of them. So I believe that all of our spiritual warfare is bound up in Ephesians 6, where you have the armor of God. You put on the armor of God, and you resist the devil, and we're wrestling with principalities and powers and so forth. But the answer to that comes in spiritual readiness, in holiness and virtue and obedience and all that kind of thing. But that is a preoccupation of certain sort of far-out charismatics, in fact, more than we'd probably like to admit. And the fallacy of it is, one, that everything is the result of a demon. Now, you read Galatians 5 and you don't see that, but the works of the flesh are these, and then it lists all the things that are the works of the flesh. Can he cast out the flesh? Not hardly. So that's ridiculous to reduce everything to that kind of a simple thing. He no doubt is a victim of bad teaching, like so many people are, and may mean well. But he may get himself into a situation that will be spiritually very dangerous if he thinks he can confront demons on their level and tell them what to do. He may wind up having more problems with them than the people he's trying to help. But it's not an uncommon thing.
Everything seems to be an attack. Anything that happens, like a trial.
Yeah, that's the second point. Second point I want to make is there is a certain sense of irresponsibility built into that view, which says I'm not really responsible for the problems in my life. Demons are. Yeah. And that's not where God lays the responsibility. I have no fear of being possessed of a demon. I have no fear of being overrun by demons. I really believe in my heart, and you, if you think about it, would believe it too, because of the nature of the ministry God's given us, that if the demons could take over my life, they would. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I believe that. I believe if the demons could take my life, they would. I remember when this girl kicked me till my shins bled, and this voice kept screaming out of her, "Get him out of here, not him, anybody but him," screaming at me. So I know the demons know whose side I'm on. And if they could take over, they would. I know they would. They do the same with anybody who's in a position of spiritual leadership. They want to stop the kingdom. But I don't have any fear of that. What I fear in my life is not demon invasion. What I fear is that I would be disobedient and sinful. So my objective is not to run around looking for demons that I can send to the pit. My responsibility is to look at my own life and be sure I'm obedient to God. And to always believe that everything that goes wrong is an attack of the devil, in a sense, is irresponsible. And it's unwise, because you're really not looking where the real issue is. So there's a vulnerability there. But, you know, this is an illustration, typical illustration of the absolutely disastrous plethora of terrible teaching that exists in the name of Christianity. If there's any one thing that literally drives me right up the proverbial wall, it is the junk that I hear being taught. And it's frightening to me, and I don't know how the Lord can allow it, but it... So much of it, and you know, the Christian radio, we can all say we're thankful for Christian radio, but Christian radio has given a platform to the biggest pile of baloney it's imaginable. I mean, I listened to a fella, and he may love the Lord, I don't know, but I listened to a guy this morning, I could not believe what he was passing off as biblical scholarship. It was absolutely irresponsible. He made one statement, for example, he said, I want to refer to the book of John, which of course does not really major on the miraculous. That is an absolutely inane statement. The Gospel of John, the whole thing is a record of a series of miracles. But the guy doesn't even know, and he's passed off as an expert. He teaches a course in how to heal at Fuller Seminary. So the devil knows what he's doing. He's not attacking Christianity, he's joining it. I mean, that's the subtlety of it. He disguises himself as an angel of light. So, anyway, I didn't mean to preach at you. You're a nice girl.
Thanks. Can I have 2 points clarified then? Christians can't be possessed by demons.
Well, I don't know. The word possessed is, let's put it this way. I don't like to use the word possessed because that speaks of ownership. And we were bought with a price and we belong to Christ. But demons don't have to stop outside our ear. They can, somehow they can be very active. We wrestle. That's hand-to-hand combat with principalities and powers, Ephesians 6:12 says. So I don't know what you mean by possessed. I think demons can get in Christians and mess them up if they give them place, if they give them opportunity for that. But I think the solution to that is not exorcism. The solution to that is obedience, confession of sin. I said to people, which is worse, to have a demon fouling up your life or to be disobedient? And people will always say, to have a demon. I said, no, it's the same thing, because the solution's the same. Just confess your sin, turn from it, and walk as you ought to walk. So it's a hard question to answer, because I don't want to assume that people say, well, you can't have the Holy Spirit and a demon in the same place. Well, you could have the Holy Spirit and sin in the same place, right? So let's not use the word possessed, because that speaks of ownership, and we belong to Christ, and that we don't want to forget. But let's say that demons can be very, very hard on Christians if they give place to them by sin.
And we can't, in today's age, we don't exorcise demons out of people. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think there are any formulas to do that, and that's what exorcism was, using formulas, saying certain words. Secondly, I don't think we can, in an apostolic, miraculous way, command demons out of other people. I don't think we can do that. Jesus could, because he literally could cleanse a person of their devils, and he passed that on to his apostles, but I don't think it went past that. Signs of an apostle were those. Signs of an apostle were miracles, healings, and mighty deeds. Okay?
Thank you very much.